So how many hours do you think we prayed for our teenagers when they were in high school,
on our knees, desperate, like so many situations where we couldn't do it and the only resource we had was prayer?
If you're a parent of teenagers, you know you are desperately praying and asking God to be with them and take care of them. And we want to help you. We have prayers for you that will help you pray for your teens. Here's how you get them. Go to familylife.com/prayforteens and you can download our prayer guide there, and it will help.
It's free.
You're actually kind of robbing your kids a chance to step into autonomy when you do everything for them. It's actually not loving. One could even argue it's hateful when you do everything for your kids.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
Well, we got Jamie Erickson back. Overwhelmed Mom, are you excited?
I am excited. I just feel like I felt so overwhelmed as a young mom.
And I never felt that.
It's because you weren't home.
Because I didn't help enough. I really didn't.
But I don't think we necessarily get great biblical answers and help. And Jamie's going to take us there today again.
You said there are three reasons moms are overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think they're universal and timeless. I think you can trace it all the way back to the garden. And I think because we don't distinguish and recognize that there's three different types of overwhelm, we want to treat all our overwhelm the same. And it's not the same. So it can't have the same prescription for whatever is ailing us. I think first and foremost, some of our overwhelm, now this might sting a little bit, but hopefully it's some truth that we all need to hear at times, myself included. I think sometimes our overwhelm is just the daily workaday things that we as moms have to do. And we haven't put enough forethought to putting those things on, I don't want to say autopilot, but in some ways, creating rhythms and routines that help us get those practical mundane things done efficiently and in the right order. So some of our overwhelm is just, you know, you can't escape it. You still have to put three meals on the table. You still have to fill out the forms for the field trip. You still have to get your kids to school and back again. These are all routine parts of your day. And because perhaps maybe we're being lazy, or maybe we're not being steadfast and faithful in those things, they spill over and then avalanche out of control. So that's one part of overwhelm, just the workaday bits of our lives.
You gave the example of laundry. What are some of the things that you did?
Well, science shows us that about 40 to 60% of our day is on autopilot. The difference between an overwhelmed mom and a mom who's just living her life smoothly is that she has been intentional to put some rhythms in place for those 40 to 60%. Your life is going to be on autopilot regardless.
Yeah.
But you can have some intentionality to it to point it in the right direction. So to your question, some of the things that I've done, one, pay it forward to yourself by getting prepared for tomorrow the night before.
And if you're not a planner, we know like that is really hard, but it's doable. I'm not a big planner, but I had to do it. How did you do that?
Well, I always look over my schedule the night before and kind of determine what the next day will hold. And if there is anything in particular in practical ways, I can pay it forward to myself to set aside. Maybe it's the clothes I'm wearing if I'm going to a particular place. Maybe it's I'm going to pack our lunches the night before because I know the morning time will be a bit of a scramble, or I'm at least going to set out things. It's something as simple as just getting to bed at a decent time and not using the excuse of I'm a night person. I might very well be a night person, but my morning is still going to happen. So I might need to get to bed so that I can start fresh, resetting my spaces at the end of the day so that I can come downstairs in the morning and not feel like I have to tackle yesterday's tasks this morning. So that means doing the dishes. You know, I never leave dirty dishes in the sink. Resetting the living room, all the communal spaces, so I don't have to wake up growling or feeling bitter and bruised. So the second type of overwhelm is the overwhelm that we get when we take on other people's things, take on other people's roles and jobs. And that often happens when we're scrolling social media. We see what all these women are doing and we think we have to do it too. So now we're adding and adding and adding things to our plate that were never meant to be ours to begin with. No wonder we're so overwhelmed. And then the third type of overwhelm is the type that is out of your control. Mm. And I want to be very sensitive to a mom who's listening who has maybe a child who has a debilitating disease or, you know, severe health problems, the wife whose husband just lost his job, the woman who's taking care of aging parents. None of those things are because of something she did. Mm. The overwhelm that she's experiencing is not really in her control. And that type of overwhelm is the kind where you need to just open your clenched fists that you've held so tightly to the Lord and release it to Him, knowing that in His kindness, His care, and His compassion, He will not let you be consumed. Mm. So those three different types of overwhelm have to be handled differently. And really only two of them are in our control.
Let me ask you, you've had an incident when one of your kids was 12.
Yeah.
Talk about overwhelm and out of your control. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, when my daughter was 12, for a while, she was having a racing heartbeat. And this heartbeat would happen at random periods. She could be exercising or she could be lounging, reading a book. It would just, you know, come on her and her heart would start racing. One night she was at a youth group activity and I got a call from a youth worker and she was having a heart attack and was rushed to the emergency room, was life flighted to another large children's hospital 2 hours away. Thank the Lord that they let me ride in the helicopter, which is not the norm. And then for about a year and a half after that, our lives were filled with trips down to that cardiac ICU unit for doctor's visits and an eventual surgery. And that was a very overwhelming season.
Especially with your other kids too.
Right. But it was just a season. And I think sometimes as moms, we can think, well, I have an overwhelming life. I am the overwhelmed mom, as if that's the collective noun that you are.
It's your identity now.
Right. And will forever be. It's not your identity. You're just in an overwhelming season. It might be acute and last for just a short time. It might last longer, like in the case of my daughter's heart attack that really did take over a year and a half of our lives. But God brought us through.
I mean, were there times during that year and a half you felt overwhelmed? Like,
well,
it doesn't feel like a season. It feels like our new life.
I don't know that you can't. She went through deep fear for her life for 3 months, 6 months after that, and was afraid to go to sleep because she didn't know if she would wake up. Mm. So then it was walking my daughter through trusting the Holy Spirit with not just her eternal life, but her right now, this day life.
But Jamie, how did you do that? As a mom, like you're just living one of the greatest fears a mom can even think of.
Yeah.
How were you not just overwhelmed and totally like, I don't even know what the word would be that you can't even do this.
I would be lying if I didn't say I was overwhelmed and that was ever present.
Of course.
But I had a history with a God who came through. I could look back on many overwhelming outside of my control circumstances in my life that He was right there. And He saw me through. And it was in those like Joshua 4 stones that I had stacked up. I could look back and remember He was true and faithful then. He will be true and faithful now. I had to do some auditing of our lives and let go of some things that were really important 2 days before. And suddenly, you know, the cream really does rise to the top. You realize what actually is important in your life. And you begin to say no so much more willingly when you have to. So I had to audit my life and kind of tear my schedule down to the studs and rebuild it with what mattered. And now on the other side of that, that's another Joshua 4 stone that I have. And not only that, she has too. And she saw how God stepped into the fiery furnace with her.
How is she?
She's wonderful. She had a heart surgery and is now living a healthy life, never has any residual effects from that.
Can you? Is she the one in college?
Yes, she's in college.
She's studying forensic something, right?
She wants to be a forensic interviewer. And let me tell you, I think that God has used that part of her life. When she was in the hospital for a few days, she was in the pediatric cardiac ICU. Talk about a mouthful. And she was the oldest child on the floor. Most of the kids in that entire wing were under two and had never seen the light of day outside of a hospital in their entire 2 years of living. And she said, Mom, I was inundated with gifts and prizes and toys of all kinds. They had a woman at the hospital whose sole job was fun maker. And if a kid wanted to play a game, if they didn't have it, she'd go out and buy it and bring it in for you. Her whole purpose was just to make the kids enjoy this time in the hospital. When she got out of the hospital and she carted all her toys and trinkets that she got from various nonprofit organizations home, she said, this is wonderful, but I have a bedroom full of toys already. And she began thinking about kids in other countries and in the foster care system that didn't have that luxury. And she spent that year collecting items, toys, school supplies to be able to donate to Cure International so that doctors who were going to third world countries performing surgeries on kids who had nothing but the shirts on their back could come and have the surgery and then be given a stuffed animal, some school supplies, something. And I am a firm believer that God will never give us a message to deliver that he does not also want us to walk through. And that was the message he wanted her to deliver. And she has spent the rest of her life wanting so deeply to care for children in difficult circumstances. So she's going to school right now to be a forensic interviewer, which is a counselor who interviews kids who've experienced the worst traumas imaginable. And then they go and speak for them on their behalf in the court system.
Yeah, it's that old Swindoll quote, if we trust God, he will never allow our pain to be in vain.
Right.
He's using every piece of that.
Your pain becomes your purpose.
Yeah.
And it also becomes your authority. Mm. Like she can speak to things that even you and I maybe aren't allowed to speak to.
Yeah.
A fear. She went to bed every night for a year and a half thinking, I don't know if I'm going to wake up. Mm. And that is a debilitating fear for anybody, but especially when you're 12 years old. And so she can speak to people's pain in ways that probably I will never be afforded that.
What would you say to the mom who's in something like that right now, whether they've been spending years at a hospital, like as you said, you know, in the cardiac hospital or with some other tragedy that they are just like so overwhelmed? What would you say to that listener right now?
Mostly that I see you. And that is something that women need to hear because I cannot solve all of your problems. I can't erase the pain, the brokenness that you feel right now. I might be able to give you some helpful tools. I might, if I know you personally, be able to give you a few practical things that will help. But most women just want to know that they're seen, that their pain points are acknowledged. And I would definitely pray for and with her.
And that Jesus sees her.
That's right.
And is with her.
He is El Roy, the God who sees. And that really does matter in your deep grief and deep pain. I remember when my sister passed away, I had just launched my second book and I was in the middle of public speaking tours and publicity campaigns and had a microphone in my face at every moment, all the while sucking in the tears that were just threatening to fall. It was one of those seasons of overwhelm that was outside of my control. I couldn't cure cancer. And so I had to say goodbye to a dear sister and what felt like a mother to me. But God was still there. You know, Revelation says that we'll defeat Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb was Christ's part. The testimony part is our part. And so I can hopefully encourage and help equip another mom by sharing my story and say, see the goodness and the delight of God and how he walked me through this. He wants to do that for you too.
Hey, let me just pause and say this. Our financial partners are the heartbeat of this ministry. And when you join this monthly giving community, you're not just donating, you're building something eternal.
And we'd be so honored to have you on the journey with us. We really would. So here's the question. Will you join us today?
I hope your answer is yes. And if it is, go to familylifetoday.com. You can click the donate button right there and become a part of the monthly partner program.
I love that you get super practical. Like one chapter is called Just Start.
Yeah.
How would you encourage, like if somebody's like, yeah, I'm resonating with this. How do we just start?
Yeah, we get overwhelmed by not even knowing where or how to start in this big thing. We see the big, huge pile of papers on our kitchen counter, all the field trip forms and the school forms and the insurance forms. And
it's you have just, a lot of forms, don't you?
Yes, there are so many. Kids come with so many forms. And we can just see this big pile and think, well, I'm going to need a whole bulldozer just to shovel my way out. Since I can't do it all, I'm just not going to do any of it. But you eat an elephant one bite at a time. So you just have to start. And part of that is knowing a good order of operations for whatever kind of task you're trying to tackle. I think that that is another thing that women struggle with. They just see this big mountainous task ahead and don't know how best to tackle it. And they're usually with those practical pieces of overwhelm in our life. There really is a better order. I won't say a right order or the best order, but there often is a better order of tackling a task. And some of that is just learning the better order. Mm-hmm. And laundry was always a point of contention in my house. I have four teenage boys that do sports. And let me tell you, nothing will sting your eyes quite like the palpable smell of baseball cleats. And when you have an entire closet full of them, laundry becomes so overwhelming, and it was very overwhelming to me. There were other parts of my life that were overwhelming that I just couldn't tackle or maybe didn't want to tackle, but laundry was right in front of me. It was something I had to do every day. So I just determined, I'm clearly not doing this right. I'm just doing it the way that I was always taught to do it. You know, you throw the laundry in, you pour some soap, you turn, you know, beep, boop, boop, a couple buttons, and you let it go and let the water do the work. And that was my lather, rinse, repeat every day. And I was still overwhelmed. So I just decided I'm going to read a book about doing laundry.
Sounds really boring.
It was riveting.
I didn't know they were existed.
Quite a page turner, let me tell you. But at the end of that book, I had some very practical helps for doing my laundry that have now saved me money, saved me time. My laundry is actually getting done. And one of the biggest practical tips was, Jamie, you don't always have to do the laundry. You have 5 other people that currently live in your house that are fully capable of doing laundry. Teach them how to do it, inspect what you expect, and then release them to do it. And that's one less thing I have to do.
That's good.
So your kids do their laundry?
Actually, I do no laundry anymore.
Nice.
I do some folding. I fold my clothes and my husband's clothes. And that's another key to like overcoming your overwhelm is to determine what you can delegate, what you will have to dismiss, and what is yours to do. And in that case, laundry was certainly something I could delegate. My kids were fully capable. And actually in handing over that job to them and saying, I trust you to do this well, you are capable, it helps them to step into that capability and gives them autonomy and independence. And the more they can step into autonomy and independence, the less I have to do for them because they are fully able to do for themselves.
You're equipping them for life.
That's right. And freeing up a little bit of my overwhelm.
Yeah, but aren't there some moms that just feel like this is my job?
Oh,
I should do this. I'm not.
That's,
you know, my husband shouldn't do it. My kids shouldn't do it. That's what I should do. What do you say to them?
Two things. One,
you're crazy.
Well, yes, some of your overwhelm then is self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
I believe fully it's a mom's job in some ways to be the overseer of that as the keeper of the home. Is it her job to necessarily put boots on the ground and do it? For a time, perhaps, when her kids are little. But also as a mom, I should be working my way out of a job. That's a kindness I can give to my kids that they can step into adulthood with this skill fully formed. And you're actually kind of robbing your kids a chance to step into autonomy when you do everything for them. It's actually not loving. One could even argue it's hateful when you do everything for your kids.
Let me ask you this. We started out with you taking 10 to 15 seconds of what is overwhelming and what goes through the mind of a mom that creates that overwhelming or even anxiety. If you had to take 10 seconds and reverse that of kind of the power of the words that you're thinking about who God is and replacing the overwhelm with God. I bet you've done that. of recalling God's faithfulness. Could you do that? Like seeing the positive instead of the overwhelming, not negative, but just the overwhelming life that you're living. What are some of the things you would say to yourself that are true about—
A new narrative.
Yeah.
You know, I have a pile of dishes in the sink. That is true practically, but it means that I have people that I love that are living here. You know, Proverbs says, you know, one day the stall will be clean, but it'll also be empty. I have a dirty stall all the live long day, it feels like, but I have a full stall. Yes, I have piles of laundry and it feels like, you know, Mount Everest that I have to climb every single day, but it's God has provided clothes for us to wear. I have a never-ending job that, you know, the type of work I do is really never-ending. I could keep chipping at away at it every second of the day if I chose to do so. But I also have a job that provides practically, financially for my family and helps me use some of the gifts that God has given me in creative ways. I can't be creator, but I can be creative. And he's allowed me to step into that work with him by providing this job that I have. So again, it's just flipping that script.
And you have a husband.
That's right.
Who, you know, we could go on and on.
Who's amazing.
Who's amazing.
He is. Yes. Yeah. What an honor and joy. I posted something on social media.
I'll look it up.
Well, you can find it. It was a screenshot from a text I sent my son. My son is currently serving in the armed forces.
Wow.
And he sent me a message.
Talk about overwhelming.
There's definitely some gripping fear that can completely take over my life if I'm not careful to give that fear and put it in the right direction, to give that fear to God. But he knew my book was coming out. And he sent me a video message recently and he said, Mom, I know that writing books was something you've wanted to do your whole life. And I know that you had to put that dream on hold so that you can help us follow and pursue our dreams. But I'm so glad you stuck with it. And I'm so glad you got to do it, you know, and you were faithful to see it through. And yes, he was telling the truth. I did want to write books ever since I was 8 years old. And yes, I did have to set that dream aside and live in the season that God has put in front of me. But that wasn't the full truth because my biggest dream is just to be a loving wife to my husband and a mother to my 5 kids. What a joy that has brought to me. And they are everything I never knew I always wanted and needed in my life. I didn't know that at the time when I was 8 years old. So I told him this in a text and I had so many women come back and say, because I shared that little brief, with his permission, that little brief snippet of conversation on social media. And I had so many women come back and say, I'm so glad you mentioned your husband in that lineup, because so often moms are quick to say, oh, my children are my biggest joy, my greatest blessing. And we always put our delight in them. I had him first. He's my joy.
And you said that when you first came in to the studio, like, I have a great husband.
Yeah.
How many years have you been married?
23 years. 23 blissful years. I know it's cheesy to say, and he will agree with me. We still feel like we're in the honeymoon season.
That's so sweet.
But it's not easy. It takes work, as anything good and rewarding.
Yeah.
Anything that matters.
Are we in that? Are we in that season? The blissful season?
Definitely. You don't think that?
I do.
If she doesn't think that, it's my fault.
No, I do think that, but we went through some seasons that were anything but blissful, believe me. And that's why we're doing what we do.
Yeah.
To help marriages, to help people understand, like, oh, God has so much more than just your happiness.
That's right.
He shapes us through our marriages, but man, if we're not intentional, that can be incredibly overwhelming. Yeah.
And it's not like the last 23 years have been, you know, sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns.
No, you guys have been through some hard stuff.
But at the end of the day, anything worth doing is going to have both struggles and strengths. And you just have to press into both the struggles and the strengths.
If you want to get the overwhelmed mom, because you are an overwhelmed mom, or you know an overwhelmed mom, familylifetoday.com, go to the show notes. There's a link there. Buy the book. Buy the book for you and a whole bunch of other moms.
It'd be really good to do this book as a group of women.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.